Welcome to Watching Bloomington, brought to you by Buccetto's Pizza Pasta, with your host, Barry Lusso. Each week, B97 and Hoosier Country bring you stories about nonprofit agencies helping people in our area. Stay informed, stay involved, and stay tuned.
Welcome to Watching Bloomington, where each week we have the chance to talk with a community leader who helps make this a better place to live. And we're pleased to have with us this morning Tamara Lowenthal, who's the director at Lotus here in Bloomington. Hi, Tamara. How are you?
Hi, Denise. I'm good. Thanks.
Good. Good to see you. So you have some exciting stuff coming up soon.
We do. We're about to embark on 4 weeks of Blossoms programming. Lotus Blossoms is the spring event that we do. It's 4 weeks of outreach to the community. So unlike the festival in the fall where people come to us to see events, we bring events to people. And so there's a lot more going out into the community.
So Blossoms has happened quite a number of years, right?
It is. I believe this is the 27th annual. Now, the reason we're a little confused about that is because in 2020, when the pandemic hit, we were about to do Blossoms and we completely shut down. And we're sometimes not sure, did we do Blossoms that year? We did do some live streams. And then last year, of course, we couldn't be live either. So we created an extensive system of outreach packets so that instead of the bazaar, which is kind of like the center point of our Blossoms events, we had these outreach packets. So that was a big part of what we did last year. So this is a big year because we're live again, the first time since 2019. So,
which is exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. And we are excited. So we're bringing four artists this year. Alash, which are Tuvans Throat Singers. They've been here before. We're bringing Violet Duncan, who we've really wanted to bring for a couple years now. She's a Native American storyteller and hoop dancer. And she'll be doing workshops in regard to that. And then we're bringing in Eleanor Dubinsky and Dario Acosta. And they are a mix of Argentinian tradition and just Latin traditions. They're trilingual, both of them. And so we're really interested in what they're going to bring to us. And then Saraswati, who was here at the festival for the first time in September. Mm-hmm. And she was lovely. So
that sounds like a great lineup.
Yeah.
So if people are interested in dates or times, website, best place to get that?
The website's the best place to get that. And I should say that tomorrow we're starting off like with a bang with a concert at the Lotus Fire Bay with Alash. And that's at 7 p.m. Now you do have to pre-register for that. And we're pretty close to full. So just check to see if there are any spots still open.
Okay.
And the website has ways to link up. Everything is on Eventbrite, especially if we have limited seating. So you can find information about the Alash concert. And then Violet has workshops the following week, a mask making workshop and a hoop dancing workshop that you can sign up for. So there's a lot coming to the public. I should say, however, that there's also a lot happening in schools. So part of what Blossoms is taking artists to area schools. And for that, while they're not open to the public, we really want the community to know that these are happening. Like maybe it's happening at your kid's school and maybe you want to go and attend. And the best way to find out is to ask your principal and maybe also your child, did you have a Blossoms performance? Because we're doing a lot of outreach, especially in Monroe County, but we're going to Brown County. We're going to Bedford. We're even going to Paoli. So kind of excited about some of the outreach we'll be doing.
And how does that fit into your broader mission?
So since our mission is to develop, well, our byline now is to that we think about developing global citizens. And we do that through education and engagement with the arts, and especially the global arts. So when we talk about Blossoms, when you're exposed to the arts at a young age, and not just the arts in general, but especially understanding the wider world around you. So we're talking about knowing what cultures, what other countries are known for, and finding interesting cultural attributes, especially through music. You really can get excited about the world around you and become more knowledgeable, and you become a citizen of the world and less focused just on your own little area of the world.
Mm-hmm. So and you go to quite lengths to find interesting artists and artists that haven't been represented before, don't you?
We do. In fact, like I'd like to say with Violet, we've had Native American performers before. We had Kevin Locke several times. He's a flute player and also a dancer, hoop dancer. I was really hoping to find a Native American woman to represent the culture, and so lucky to have Violet. She's married to Tony Duncan, who's also a well-known flute player and dancer. So they do things together. But in this case, she's coming solo, and we're excited to have that kind of representation. But it is true, Denise, we do look at the world as a whole. Who have we not represented or not represented lately? Because we want representation from Asia, from Africa, from all over the world. And so every year we try to focus on bringing in maybe groups that we haven't brought in for a while, representing those cultures.
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine with the programming in school, that's probably the first time some children will have been exposed to some of these countries.
I think this is very likely true. Now, if we're in Bloomington, we definitely have schools where we have professors at IU, or we have people from all over the world. So there's two aspects to this. One is that it's great if you're a student to see someone who's representing your culture at your school. You feel mm-hmm. suddenly seen and included. But then it's also great if we're going to Southern Indiana to a rural school, which isn't that diverse, for kids to see, oh, wow, look at this interesting thing. I never heard of that instrument called the veena. Mm-hmm. And here is this amazing instrument. So I think it works in both directions, making people feel seen and visible who are from minority cultures in this area. And then also to expose us all. And, you know, I never get tired of it. I love this part of what Lotus does.
No, it sounds exciting. And I would imagine if the children are exposed, do they go home and talk to their families about it then?
We know that this is true to some degree. And I'll tell you that because one of the things we haven't talked about right now is the bazaar. So usually halfway through, in the middle of the whole 4 weeks of Blossoms, we have this world bazaar. And in that bazaar, community groups come in and represent different cultures. So we have a lot of IU partners, and those partners might present world cultures through writing, like how do you write your name in Arabic, how to write your name in Greek, some kind of language maybe that we're not as familiar with, an alphabet we're not familiar with. So it's interesting. Mm-hmm. But then we'll also have cultural aspects of different, like belly dancing. Where does that come from? Well, it's not an American dance form, but what are its influences and what can kids learn about mm-hmm. belly dancing or the harp or gourds? How are gourds used traditionally as instruments, especially in African countries? Mm-hmm. All these kinds of activities that kids can participate in. And they go to the bazaar to do that. Now on the Friday, the bazaar is a Friday and a Saturday. On the Friday, and this year that's the first and second, the Friday is available only to fourth graders in Monroe County. And it's kind of always been a fourth grade thing. Mm-hmm. And then the Saturday is open to the community. And one of the things we notice is that we'll have families come in on Saturday who say, oh, my son or my daughter came on Friday and we loved it. And they said, we've got to come back. So we see this kind of influence. It's harder actually to follow up on the music performances. So we often ask the teachers, when you had this performance, what did you talk about it afterwards in class? Mm-hmm. What kind of comments did you hear? Because we do want feedback. It helps with our grant writing. It helps, sure. This year we have a really wonderful grant from Rotary, our local Rotary, to help with the bazaar, which is amazing because, again, finding groups who want to invest both through volunteering, but also through helping us get back on our feet after being quiet the last 2 years. It's really wonderful. So. Mm-hmm.
Now, the bazaar sounds phenomenal. And so if families go, you've mentioned that they can, you know, see instruments from other cultures. What other kinds of things are featured at the bazaar?
So I mentioned belly dancing. I mentioned Sue Westhues is the gourd lady. There's spinning, growing cotton, and also shearing sheep. Those are things that are done around the world. So understanding mm-hmm. how yarn is made, and it's really one of the favorite places for students, so I see that a lot. We have a drumming area where a drummer from Indianapolis actually comes down, Adam Revere, and kids can work on all these different drums that represent different parts of the world. So to me, there's just this really broad array of both participatory, hands-on kind of things. And then, you know, right now we're looking at Ukraine. We're seeing the situation there. And one of our long-term presenters presents Ukrainian egg decorating, which is especially around Easter. It's a European tradition, especially East European. And so to me, that's going to be a pretty powerful piece of Ukrainian egg decorating, understanding what it means to the culture and the intricate designs that you'll see on those eggs, but also how it represents the beauty of that part of the world. So we're thinking sometimes in those directions, what do things mean to us? And right now we're all really thinking about Ukraine, the situation there.
No, I think that's very timely, of course. And so, and the fact that it sounds like you have great community representation. So a lot of different local groups then come and artists help come make this possible.
Yes. And then I should also say on the Saturday of the bazaar, we have these short performances by community groups. So for instance, Joe Lee will have his flea circus. And if you've been to the bazaar before, you got to see his flea circus. It's amazing. And then Ritmos Latinos will be there doing some salsa performances. So there's community groups. We have some Irish musicians who actually came to Lotus to perform 3 years ago. And now they happen to be here because one of them, Tig, is in the ethnomusicology school. He's getting a master's. And so this great music locally that represents these different cultures or great activities. And it's just fun. And again, these community groups are donating their time to show that they are here and also the richness of the culture here.
It's a phenomenal event. And then are you looking for volunteers too? You mentioned that a lot of volunteers help
we
this.
We are. So presenters come and set up their tables, but they often look for assistance at those tables. Sometimes even our Lotus activities, which are going to be pretty intricate, could use some extra hands. So we have a volunteer application you can access online. If you go to our website, which is lotusfest.org, you can find the volunteer page as a drop down and just click on it, fill out the application. We'll give you an assignment pretty soon. and really what you just do is you just come. I mean, we'll confirm that you have an assignment, but and you show up and you have fun because we don't know which presenter will need help that day.
Sure.
And it's not hard work. It's fun. It really is fun.
Oh, definitely. And I know with the tables, they get busy because you have so many people who want to try activities. So the volunteers I know have been very helpful, even helping put something aside to dry or helping a smaller child with a step of something. So everybody seems to have a really good time when they do this.
Yeah. So again, we're excited about that.
That sounds wonderful. So along with all the different activities in the schools then, so are those taking place over a similar time period then?
Yes. Well, so they're in that 4 week window. So each week we have an artist and we're kind of focusing that way because we have a sound system we have to take around. Most of the artists are doing performances. Sometimes they're doing maybe a lecture demo at IU for one of the departments like Portuguese and Spanish department or something like that. So the sound system has to go with those artists. And so we have to have staff to do that. So each week we feature a different artist and then each week we'll have a public event. So like tomorrow is Alash, the week after Violet will be doing the workshops at the Lotus Fire Bay, but then she'll also be doing a storytelling event at Morgan Stearns. Yay, Morgan Stearns, they're back.
Yay.
And then Eleanor and Daria will do a concert at the Lotus Fire Bay. And then Saraswathi will do a concert at the Monroe County Public Library. But all of these events, again, each artist is doing a public event and then a bunch of schools and other lesser known. We hope to still do something at Stone Belt. One of the things I'll say, Denise, we're really grateful for this year is the reopening of the world, because when we first started booking these events early February, people were hesitant. And then they were like pushing. And then suddenly March comes and people are ready. They're ready to have their events. So our schedule is full now, which is wonderful.
That's wonderful. And I can imagine with some of the restrictions, travel was probably difficult. I would imagine that some artists probably had challenges leaving their countries or allowed to enter certain countries.
I was going
to
say, Alash was, they were first up and they were really on it with their tours. Again, we're so grateful. Alash is coming from Tuva, from the Republic of Tuva. But some of the artists, like Violet Lives, divides her time between Arizona, she's Native American, and Canada, because they're, the Cree people are in both the Southwest and the Northwest, so to speak. So depends where you're coming from, but most people are able to get here, you know, because they are touring musicians, they want to be able to get here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can imagine. Now, I would imagine too, doing all this, helping these artists with transportation and supporting the artists while they're here and doing all that probably takes some financial resources. And I would imagine you guys must be a little strapped after all the events the past 2 years.
Yeah, and I think that is one of the pitches we're trying to make is this, the music we present, these experiences are so important for the community. And of course it takes, the artists have to get paid. And we're really glad that we can now offer live experiences because artists have had a pretty tough 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, hiring the staff to do the work because mm-hmm. Lotus was trying to spread its wings, I think in 2019, and then the pandemic capped it. So we're really trying to reopen now. So yes, we gladly accept donations, both for the events we do, but just in general. And again, you can find the donate button on our page, which is lotusfest.org. So love the support from the community.
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine too, it'd probably be helpful. People can probably sponsor a school or sponsor an artist or do a general donation.
Yes. And I think that's something that we really value. And I will speak my personal experience. I finally have a grandchild in school. He's at Summit Elementary. Wow. And I really wanted Summit to have a performance. And so I mm-hmm. spoke to the principal and I said, I will fund this performance. I would
that's
love
awesome.
It.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, and we are working with schools, you know, we give scholarships. We are not denying any school or any organization that wants it. So I would say half of our schools have scholarships in some form or another. So, mm-hmm.
And that's a great way with doing a sponsorship like that. You're reaching so many children all at one time who wouldn't get that experience otherwise.
Right. So if you have a place you'd like artists to go, or if they're already going there, you can check with us. You can check with me. And we'll be glad to put your name as this performance presented in part by you.
Wonderful. That sounds great. So again, the date of the public bazaar, it's April 2nd. Is that correct?
It's April 2nd. And it's at Fairview Elementary School, which you may know is on West 7th Street, just off Rogers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do people need reservations or is that just a come
That's
as you go?
That's just come and go. Come as you go. Right. And one of the things you get when you come to the bazaar is we give out passports. Mm-hmm. And a passport allows you to feel like you're traveling and you get a stamp by every activity you do. So when you leave the bazaar, you will feel like you've gone around the world.
And your passports are probably a little easier to get.
Very easy to get. No, you don't have to prove your identity.
Or take photographs or anything like that, huh?
No, right. Yeah.
Right. So looking forward, I hope the Blossoms Bazaar is very, very successful in the whole Blossoms event. And what are your hopes for the next few months? What are you hoping for Lotus?
Well, we have a lot of, again, getting back out. We would like to do a public fundraiser in June. We already have the date for that. That's June 9th. Mm-hmm. And it's at Deer Park Manor. So more information will be coming out about that. We would love to do a summer concert. We're looking at whether that's a possibility, partnering with Parks and Rec for one of those. Mm-hmm. And then of course the festival, which will be live. Right now the dates are set September 22nd through 25th. So of course that is in Bloomington. And so we are already booking our first artist, which is exciting. Last year we couldn't really book anyone till May mm-hmm. because we didn't know we were open. So again, sure. We're praying that Omicron is the last big variant. We know that it's possible it won't be, but we're going forward like it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So enough Greek alphabet letters for now, right?
Yeah, that's right. We don't know anymore.
Nope, no more. Excellent. Well, Tamara, thank you so much for being with us this morning, and Hope Blossoms is a wonderful success as always. And thank you so much for being our guest this morning.
Thanks for having us. Thank you, Denise.
Yeah. And this has been another edition of Watching Bloomington, and we'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to Watching Bloomington with Barry Lesso, brought to you by Buccetto's Pizza Pasta. For pizzas, calzones, Italian chicken dinners, and more than 50 gluten-free dishes, as well as vegan options. Visit them for dine-in or carry-out at East 3rd Street or next to Starbucks on West 3rd Street in front of Kroger. Order online at Buccetto's.com.